This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:33. Good morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. An Italian-based automotive parts manufacturer announced plans to more than double the workforce of their West Virginia location. So Jeffy USA will add 250 jobs to their Wayne County plant as they create a new line of parts for General Motors vehicles. Ashton Mara reports.
And today, thanks to our collaborative efforts and hard work, 250 West Virginians can look forward to good-paying new jobs.
Governor Tomlin made the announcement at So Jeffy USA's manufacturing plant in Wayne County. A $20 million investment by the Italian company will more than double the plant's workforce from 160, adding 250 new positions over the next 5 years.
The 250 jobs we're talking about are more important than numbers on a piece of paper. There are 250 people who will be able to put food on the table. 250 people who will take pride in working for a world-class company like So Jeffy. And there are 250 West Virginians who will get good-paying jobs right here at home.
250 people like Frank Workman, a maintenance technician who started at the Pritchard location when they opened in 2004. Workman says the added jobs will be good for a county whose unemployment rate sits at more than 6%.
I think this community needs it. There's a lot of people looking for jobs, and it's a great opportunity for the community, the state, and all of the people that's involved.
The manufacturing plant produces automotive parts, including gasoline, diesel, and oil filters, and cooling modules. Beginning next year, the plant will start producing engine air intake manifolds, creating the need for additional technology and workers. So Jeffy currently employs a variety of personnel at their Wayne County location, from the assembly line to warehouses, from accountants to industrial engineers. General Manager Troy Thomas says positions will be added in all departments to handle the increased production.
Think about this for a moment. Over 25 vehicle models that you pass every day on the road are supplied from this plant, and that's soon going to grow. So it's impossible to miss the product that we produce in this plant.
The expansion announcement comes after a 13-day investment trip the governor and members of the State Department of Commerce took to Europe in October. There, they met and encouraged businesses to locate or expand their locations in the state, including a meeting with So Jeffy's CEO in Paris. Thomas said the international company had planned expansions in North America before meeting with the governor, but his involvement encouraged So Jeffy to expand in Wayne County.
So Jeffy's plan for expansion in North America, if you want to talk just about that as a continent, didn't have to necessarily be located here in Pritchard. There were other states that competed hard for that investment and those jobs, like every state does. But, you know, obviously, we've had a good experience here, and the governor helped to seal the deal to make sure that So Jeffy's expansion, for this product line at least, is going to be located here in Pritchard.
Tomlin says this type of announcement speaks volumes about the workforce and reliability of the business climate in the state.
Anytime a company is making that kind of an announcement, that kind of an investment, it shows that they have some faith in West Virginia. And I think the changes we have made by privatizing workers' comp, lowering the taxes and so forth, the workforce training that we offer in West Virginia is one that's being noticed.
So Jeffy will begin adding positions in January of next year to start producing its newest line of parts for General Motors. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Pritchard.
The Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition won a court hearing yesterday morning for the right to protest at a conference in Huntington. Members of the coalition say the afternoon protest was about drawing public awareness to studies they believe show the negative impacts the coal industry is having on community health. Clark Davis has the story.
St. Mary's Medical Center in Huntington filed a restraining order late last week to stop the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition from protesting an event at the St. Mary's Center for Education on Fifth Avenue. The event was an energy and natural resource symposium held by the Huntington Regional Chamber of Commerce. Using the conference center at the St. Mary's Educational Center, they hosted Robert Duncan, president and CEO of the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity. Tuesday morning, the petition for the restraining order was denied by Cabell County Circuit Judge Paul Farrell.
I'm going to deny your request. I suggested with HPD on notice that you may need assistance for him to see if they have officers that could be up there if there's an issue. OVIC is a recognized environmental group who have their agenda. Coal people have their agenda. Those two shouldn't clash.
St. Mary's maintained any protest may harm the students' ability to provide care at the educational facility or at the hospital just a couple blocks away. Doug Corstangi is the director of marketing and community relations at the hospital.
Our goal is to keep the protesters from blocking the entrance and exits to our Fifth Avenue campus. In addition to the conference center, we also have a center for education. We have an outpatient rehab center there. So we just want to make sure that protesters aren't blocking the entrance or the exits, and they promised to do that today, so we're pleased. We just want to make sure that everything runs as planned. You know,
Janet Keating is the executive director for the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. She says their plan was never to interrupt provided care, but to protest the chamber's speaker at the facility, which happens to be owned by the hospital.
Well, we're very pleased. Our big concern, our overriding concern, was that our First Amendment rights were being infringed upon, and we didn't want to see any precedent set here. You know, OVEC has a long history of peaceful rallies and demonstrations, and we want to continue that good reputation that we have.
Judge Farrell said as long as OVEC followed their promise to stay on the public sidewalk nearly 200 feet away from the private facility, there wasn't a problem. Keating says the group felt the need to protest once they learned of the speaker's message.
Our big concern is the fact that there have been numerous studies about the health impacts of coal on individuals and on communities and on community health. And we just actually felt like our political leaders have not acknowledged these peer-reviewed published studies.
Keating says what started as a peaceful rally got more attention than they ever dreamed of.
It raises public awareness. I mean, we had no idea that the hospital would seek a temporary restraining order to keep us from having this rally. And ironically, we're getting more publicity as a result of this, and that's fine with us.
Corstangi says the conference has nothing to do with the hospital, except that the chamber has rented their facility.
Well, it is a conference center, and the Chamber of Commerce has rented the facility to use for today's symposium, and that's what's going on there. And so, again, it's not necessarily that we're taking a stand on the issue. It just is that the Chamber of Commerce is using this conference center for an energy symposium, and we want to make sure that goes on as planned.
The protest went as planned yesterday afternoon. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:41. There's a minor vehicle accident on eastbound I-64 at mile marker 52 in Dunbar. One of three eastbound lanes are closed. An earlier accident on the West Virginia Turnpike has been cleared. Schools in Pocahontas and Greenbrier counties are on a two-hour delay this morning. Some lingering snow in the eastern mountains with wind gusts of up to 25 miles per hour there. Becoming sunny and cold today, temperatures in the 30s to near 40 degrees. Clear and cold overnight with lows in the teens and 20s. Sunny and warmer on Thursday with temperatures in the 40s and 50s. West Virginia University's Solar Decathlon team recently returned from its California competition. And while it didn't bring home a win, team members say they returned with lessons learned and brand new experiences to remember. Beneduccio has the story.
Brandon Belenka is the student project lead for the Solar Decathlon team. For 3 weeks in Irvine, California, Belenka and the team competed against nearly 20 other programs from around the world, testing the endurance and efficiency of homes using solar power and other green technologies. WVU's entry is the first log cabin rustic-style home the competition has seen. And Belenka said that meant encountering some bumps along the way.
They give you 8.5 days to rebuild noon on that last day. If you continue to build after that, they penalize you. And we, obviously, the goal is to get the house done at any cost. So we pushed past that deadline. We took the next day, which was the day of rest and a media day, we took that day to continue to finish up things. And then the following day, which is a Thursday, was the first day of competition when they started judging different things. So at that point, if you don't have your house completely inspected per the building code and you don't pass all your inspections by 7 a.m. of the first day of competition, even if you get it done that day and you get it all fixed and passed that day, you can't compete that day.
Due to an issue with the plumbing, the house wasn't completed on time and lost points. The team came in last. But Belenka says their cabin-style home was a fan favorite. More than 60,000 people visited the home while it was erect in California. And while scoring was close, Belenka says despite the point losses, had the team had a bit more luck, things might have been very different.
We still only came within 2 points of 18th place. And if we had earned 10 more points, we could have been like 16th or 17th. So, I mean, the gap was close. Now, this was also the highest scoring decathlon of all time. It was also the first time that every single team achieved net zero on their production of electricity, including ours. And we were one of the higher ones, which is pretty awesome.
The competition took place during the federal government shutdown, but had been funded in advance. Belenka says irony still played a role since the competition would normally have taken place in Washington at the National Mall.
Luckily, they had moved it. Otherwise, the decathlon would have never happened, and a lot of people would have not necessarily wasted their time. But all these people all the students who went to compete, we wouldn't have been able to compete.
When asked to describe the experience, the total comprehensive experience, Belenka borrowed from the writer Charles Dickens, saying it was the best time of his life and the worst time of his life.
People were exhausted. We were completely just drained. It was very, very, very tough. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. But there was just this sense of, I mean, obviously we're tired and probably a little grumpy and whatnot, but there was just this sense of motivation. Like it was definitely character building. Let's put it that way. It was definitely character building. I think a lot of us came out of this a lot stronger than we were before.
Belenka says the house will now be used for research at the university. He adds the team is already starting to discuss its entry for 2015. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
Last Wednesday was the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Droop Mountain, which took place on November 6, 1863, in Pocahontas County. Dan Schultz of the Traveling 219 Project covered the sesquicentennial events held at the Battlefield State Park and has this report.
Samuel Bowden, Edward Doyle.
The names of Union and Confederate soldiers killed in battle 150 years ago were read today at Droop Mountain Battlefield State Park. A new monument to the battles fallen was unveiled and dedicated at the sesquicentennial anniversary of what was arguably the most significant battle to take place in West Virginia during the Civil War. The memorial event included an honor guard of reenactors, speakers such as historian Terry Lowry, and the reading of a message from Governor Earl Ray Tomlin in memorial of the battle. The event followed the final of four memorial hikes, organized and led by Droop Mountain Battlefield State Park Superintendent Mike Smith, a 27-mile hike that followed the route of Confederate soldiers to the battle 150 years ago.
My name's Caleb Skaggs. I'm 19 from Rupert, West Virginia.
Caleb Skaggs was one of the 15 participants who hiked the 27 steep and windy miles along U.S. Route 219 from Lewisburg to Droop Mountain. The hike left Lewisburg at around 2 in the afternoon on Tuesday and arrived at the battlefield after 1 a.m. that night.
It was an excellent walk. Took us every bit of about 11 and a half hours to do the walk. For the most part, we were blessed to have some decent weather to march in. I'm pretty worn out, pretty sore.
A number of the hikers, including Caleb, are Civil War reenactors.
I am wearing a gray Confederate uniform. I usually fall in with Brian's Battery out of Lewisburg. But as a reenactor, I wanted to participate, not only because it's important that we keep the history alive, but also my great-great-great-great-grandfather actually participated in the walk with Eccles Brigade 150 years ago to the day.
For Allegheny Mountain Radio and AlleghenyMountainRadio.org, I'm Dan Schultz.
This story was produced by Dan Schultz of the Traveling 219 Project, a production of Allegheny Mountain Radio, with support from the West Virginia Humanities Council, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and AmeriCorps Vista. For more about this story and other stories from the road, go to traveling219.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at wvpublicnews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.